Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, you're all very welcome this morning, and it's great to have our friends here from the States as well, so it's great to have you here, guys. Have we anyone here for the first time this morning? Anyone new in the house? You're very welcome. Great to have you. Great to have you with us. Great to have you, Scott, you with us. And Angela, great to have you back with us. Amen. 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 So there's loads actually going on at the moment. Sorry, I keep dropping this. So we've loads of things that are going to happen this season. So as Sharon said, get involved. You know, if you want to grow in God, you know, get to one of these meetings. But I just want to bring an announcement. We actually have a women's conference that's coming up. For any of you that know, who knows Teresa Conlon? Okay, so some of us know. Eddie knows her. Good stuff. You've been at these meetings, these women's meetings. So look, we have a conference that's coming up in November. It's the 11th till the 13th of November. And the conference is fire. And the message that Teresa's bringing is about hidden. You are my hiding place, Psalm 32, verse 7. So ladies of this house, all the ladies of Liberty, we're going to do a road trip. We're going to do a road trip, and we're going to embrace Cork with the tribe and with the presence of all the women from Liberty. So please come and see myself and Sharon. The conference is €25, which is for nothing. You know, so I've been at conferences where they have, you know, they charge an arm and a leg. This is €25. The hotel is Cork International Hotel. And, I mean, you can get a room there for three for something like €109. So no excuses, ladies. Let's get this. Let's get fed. And let's get with the other women around this country and praise our God. Amen? Amen. So it's great to have you all here. I'm going to bring the Word of God this morning. And we're kicking off a new series, and this new series is Ephesians. We're going to be doing the book of Ephesians over the next couple of weeks, and we're going to have different preachers come and share about the book of Ephesians. So your assignment over these next few days or weeks is to get into the book of Ephesians, read the book of Ephesians, get it into your bones, get it into your remit, because I'm telling you, this book is transforming. It will transform you. You will not be the same when you read this book and when you hear the message of the gospel. So, Father, we come in the name of Jesus this morning. And, Father, you are wondrous. Father, you are. And, Father, may we never lose our wonder. May we never lose our first love. So, Father, I ask that you release, Father, the anointing oil on this place this morning, that you begin to release mindsets, Father, that are kept in bondage here. Father, that you open hearts, Father, to receive your word. Let transformation take place in this house this morning. So if you want to turn with me to the book of Ephesians, and we're going to kick it off. But you know, just as we get into the word, we all have sinned in this house. And I'm a sinner. I'm not ashamed to admit that. But you know, we all need a savior. And I have a savior. And I know that you have a savior as well. You know, when Adam was in the garden, sin happened in that place. But sometimes, you know, we create our own sin as well in the things that we have done. And the message is, what does it look like to live close to God? What does it look like being part of the family? What is our position, our responsibility as believers? And if you're a believer, I pray that this message motivates you, that you come to the knowledge of God. And if you're not a believer, I pray that the Spirit moves upon you this morning. You know, when Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he had come to this place three times, Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. And he begins to immediately declare the spiritual blessings upon the people in the book of Ephesians. He begins to declare the works of God. He begins to declare how these people were blessed. And you know what? Blessing in Greek means eulogy, which means to speak well of. And God was speaking well of the people of Ephesians. It was the people that were in Christ. And he was declaring good things for their benefit. So let's take a look. And this is what the word says. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, and your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of glory. Amen. 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 So, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you. Now, Father, let this word go forth in Jesus' name. Father, may it take residence in hearts here this morning. You know, we're chosen. We are chosen. We are a chosen people. And the blessings, and this is the first point, that the greatness of the Father's love for us is that we are chosen. We are loved by God. You see, God came and he handpicked each one of us here this morning. Our God went and chose you. He chose and he picked you out for his creation, for his inheritance. You know, he chose us. It was his choice. It was God's choice, so that we could move towards him without blame, with nothing to hide, absolutely nothing to hide, that we come into a relationship with him. You see, God saved us, and that's our destiny. He saved us. He had already planned out before the world began that you and I would be sitting here today. Isn't that amazing? You see, God decided beforehand that we would be adopted into the family. And that just blows my mind. Before sin even came into the world, God had already picked each and every one of us. That's amazing. It's just amazing what God did. And we ask, why did God do this? And the answer is simply because it pleased God. God did this because he wanted to do something. He wanted to do it and he made it possible. God wanted to do this for himself. And to be able to live closer to God is to understand the greatness of the Father's love. It's mind-blowing what God did. It's probably even beyond our human thinking, our understanding. Why would God do this? Why would God handpick me? Why? You see, you are marked. You are marked. That's why God picked you. You are predestined. You are adopted into the family of God. God chose you because you will live in eternity with him. You are going to receive the inheritance of his rewards. This is what our Father has done. And you know what? our reaction is just to come and to simply praise him. That's all he wants us to do, is to come and to praise him and to sing adoration unto him. Knowing that we're accepted is that we've been adopted into the family. What that means is that we have full access to the Father. We can come into the presence of God and know that we are accepted. Isn't that amazing this morning? You see, when we have stuff going on, we can cry out to God. We can call on the Father to come and to help us. We're highly favored, highly favored. Just like Mary, the mother of God that carried Jesus, she was highly favored. God had marked her out. He picked her out. Knowing we've been accepted through the blood of Jesus, he has taken away the guilt of our sin here this morning. That's why we can stand before God. We can stand before him knowing that we are forgiven. That we're forgiven. And our response is to come, thank you. That we just, out of an act of worship, we say thank you. And here's the second point. It's another blessing that we've been redeemed by the Son. You see, God's will is for us to know his fullness. And you see, Paul brings it out. He brings it out in the scripture here. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of his sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. You see, he moved heaven to earth. That's what he did. He moved heaven to earth to save us. And we didn't have to lift one finger. And that's the riches of God's glory towards us here this morning. He showered his kindness on each of us here this morning. Am I going? Amen. You see, the redemption is through the blood. It was the price he paid. It was the ransom, a down payment. He purchased our freedom with the blood. He bought us back. You see, what God did was he snatched us from the gates of hell. You were snatched from the gates of hell here this morning because the Father marked you with a seal of the Holy Spirit. And he says, no, I'm going to take Lucy here and I'm going to bring her into the kingdom of God. I'm going to take Johnny here and I'm going to bring him into the kingdom of God. You see, that's what the Father did. You were marked. You were snatched from the gates of hell. You see, the price of our sins, the blood was the payment. He bought us back. He bought us back so that we could spend eternity with God. That was the full payment by the blood of the Lamb of God. You see, we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. We've heard it here this morning. We don't have to come to God begging. We don't have to come to him begging for forgiveness. We're already forgiven. Each one of us here this morning, already forgiven. You know, we become servants to God. We become children of God. We become adopted into God's family. And since we are bought and paid for by his blood, we've an obligation as the people of God to come and glorify him. We've an obligation to come and praise him. You see, to fully grasp this morning, we can come and know that we are complete in God. So whatever struggles you have right now, Jesus has got this. And he's saying, I've got you. I've got you. Because of my death and resurrection, I can bring you back into a relationship with the Father. We heard it from the pulpit this morning. A man was stripped of everything. His work, his ministry, his wife. He was stripped of everything. Why? Because God wanted to bring him back into a relationship with him. He wanted to bring him back to the Father. He wanted to bring him back. And out of that, he has begun to flourish and given back things in his life. So what is your responsibility? Are you willing this morning to personally experience God? Are you willing to turn from your actions, to repent of your actions this morning? Are you willing to come into a full relationship with God? Are you willing to come and experience what God has for you? All the richness he has for you. Are you willing to put off old habits, practices that you have been doing, the things of this world that you've been moving towards? Are you willing to come to God this morning? About 14 years ago, I was at a meeting, and the presence of God was so tangible in that meeting. And it was a similar message that I heard. Am I willing? Am I willing to come and serve God? Because you see, I had one foot in and one foot out. I was one of those Christians that when I heard the word of God from the pulpit, when I heard the message, and they were great messages, when I heard these messages, I would say, oh yeah, I'll do that. And I would go outside the doors and nothing changed. Nothing changed. But yeah, there was something in my heart that wanted to be able to come to that place to serve God fully. There was a well-known called, am I gone? And she worked in Wall Street. And I read about this woman. And she worked in Wall Street. She was well-known as a businesswoman. She was worth millions. And in 1916, she died, and she left an estate worth over $200 million. But this woman that worked on Wall Street was well known also for being miserable. She wouldn't spend Christmas. But this woman would eat porridge cold. She wouldn't even turn up the heat to have the porridge cold, or to have a hot. She would wear clothes, the same clothes day in, day out, until they actually wore out. This woman was wealthy, very, very wealthy, 200 million, but lived a life of a pauper. She lived a life of a down and out. She lived a life miserable. She lived a life lonely, and she died a lonely woman. And the same can be said for God's people. There are too many believers walking around spiritually miserable, still living out of old habits and practices, forgetting their riches, forgetting their rewards, forgetting what God has done for them. And you see, Paul was reminding the Ephesian church not to forget who they were. You see, when he wrote to them, he said to the faithful, to the saints. So they already knew God. And Paul wrote this letter to remind them not to forget who they were in Christ. You see, these people lived in a city that was full of pagan gods. It was a city of rich and old people. It was a city that was full of shrines and idols. And, you know, the people worshipped these gods called the gods of fertility and the gods of victory. This is what the people worshipped. And the God of victory, if you have a pair of Nike runners on you today, there's a tick sign on that. And that tick sign is from the God of victory. That they designed that from her wings. And the people felt that they could fly. The people felt so victorious. You see, the people took their eye off God. And they began to worship these idols. I had the privilege of being in Ephesus here in the summer. And I had the privilege of witnessing all these shrines and all these different things that the people witnessed. And I was amazed at what actually took place. This city was huge. And I only got to see one quarter of this city. And the rest of it is buried underground. But this stuff really happened. And you see, Paul in his letter was writing to the believers and he was saying to them, come back to your first love. Don't get sidetracked by all these idols and all these practices that are on around. Don't fall into these habits. You see, they had forgotten that they were chosen in Jesus. There was a mark on them. There was a mark of the Holy Spirit upon them. They had forgotten what God had done for them on the cross. They had forgotten that he poured out his blood. They had forgotten. They had forgotten their inheritance. And as believers here this morning, our responsibility is to put off habits. It's to put off practices. And I mentioned there was a time I would come and I would listen to the word of God. I would listen to good teachings and good preaching coming out of this house. But I wouldn't let it transform me. Because I went about doing my own thing. And we need to move away from certain habits and practices. You see, we live in a world where there's a lot of serious stuff going on. But we also live in a world as Christians where we've got to get serious with God. Isn't that right? You see, we need to smash off whatever idols, whatever habits, whatever practices that have come into our world. We've got to take that stuff and we've got to smash it off us if we're going to get serious with God. That we no longer conform to the patterns of this world, Romans 12:2. That we don't get sucked in by the stuff of this world, but that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's when we'll know God's plan. That's how we'll know the plan of God. When we let the Holy Spirit come and wash over us and wash over us and wash over us, we begin to get transformed. And even though you might be struggling with stuff, begin to declare the word of God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Let the word transform you, transform you. That's the Holy Spirit in operation. Paul challenged the Ephesian church to walk away from their habits and their practices. And for me, I didn't understand how to do this. I didn't understand how to move away from some of the stuff that I did. And I had to get real with God. I had to surrender to God. And the challenge for me was to ask him, Lord, I don't know how to move away from some of this stuff in my life, but I'm asking you, Lord, will you make me willing? Father, will you make me willing, Father, to serve you wholeheartedly, Lord God? Father, will you make me willing to submit to your ways, to submit to your word? Father, will you make me willing? And I remember I began to read the word of God. I would read the word of God and it would begin to take root. It would begin to take residence in my heart. I would read daily devotions. I would begin to pray. I would begin to just confess to one or two people of the struggles that I was having. I began to walk out of darkness into light. And I began to walk into a serious relationship with God. And you know, people can look and people can say, look at that Holy Joe. Let them say, look at the Holy Joe. Because the Holy Joe has great crack in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, I was rocking it on Friday night on the floor with a guitar singing Oh Black Betty. I'm telling you, this Christian life is great. It's great. We don't have to be Holy Joes, but we do have to be obedient to the things of God. Because God is looking at the heart. He doesn't need a people that are religious. He wants people's hearts. He wants your heart here this morning. And he's asking, get serious with me. Turn from your habits. Turn from the practices that you once did. And here's the challenge. I've seen so many challenges on Facebook between the Run Amok Challenge, between Love Your Spouse Challenge. Isn't that right, Jen? And the other challenge, the Ice Bucket Challenge. Who remembers the Ice Bucket Challenge? Who? No, we won't. And I want to put a challenge out this morning, out to the house. I want to ask you, in your prayer time, ask God for His will. Ask God to make you willing, to be willing to serve Him. And that's the challenge. It's a new challenge. When you ask God, when you get real with God, I'm telling you, God will speak to you. He spoke to me. He will speak to you. And here's the other challenge. Will you follow? Will you obey? And here's the third blessing. And the third blessing that God gave us is that the Holy Spirit is our seal. And that basically means that He has guaranteed that we belong to Him, that we're marked by the blood of the Lamb, that we cannot be snatched from Him. Praise God. We cannot be taken back. You see, this Holy Spirit is a down payment. It's a deposit for us. It's a validation signature on the contract of our lives. I actually get to officiate weddings in this country. And part of my role officiating weddings is to make sure that the couple that I am marrying sign that contract correctly. And that's one of my roles to do. And the role of the Holy Spirit, He officiates your relationship, your way back to the Father, because you have been marked by the blood of the Lamb here this morning. And that's the good news. As the people of God, our responsibility is to, going forward, is that we pay attention to the steps that we take. Have you ever walked through a field where a load of cows and sheep and all that herd? And what are you doing when you're walking through? You're walking, sure, making sure that you're not standing on, you know, all that dunk, whatever. Yeah. But the place is stinking. But you're watching your footsteps. You're watching where you're walking. Because you don't want to stand on it. Isn't that right? As God's people, our responsibility is to pay attention. That we pay attention to the steps that we take. That we focus on hearing the word of truth, His word. That we obey the word of God. That we focus on where we walk. We focus on how we think. How we conduct ourselves as believers. And the integrity that God has placed in us as believers. You see, God has given us the Holy Spirit. He's in our hearts. That's the deposit. That's the inheritance. And God's Holy Spirit is a guarantee of what God has prepared for us in eternity. And I'm going to just conclude, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See, the Father that we've heard about here this morning, He's a great dispenser. That's what He is. He gives out. Just like if you go to a chemist and you need to get medicine, the pharmacist in the back of the dispensary is making up the medicine. And the pharmacist comes and gives out what you need to get well. The great physician is in the house this morning. And I know there's people that are struggling with stuff. I know it. You've talked with me. I know there's people in this house this morning that are hurting. I know there's people in this house waiting to hear a word from God about taking the next step. He's the giver. The great dispenser is the giver. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of healing. He's the giver of restoration. He's the giver, the great physician that's not going to leave you where you're at if you're willing to come and surrender. You see, the great physician, he didn't do a half-hearted job on the cross, did he? He went the full way. He hung there on that tree and took every nail for us here in this place this morning. The great physician knows what you need here this morning in this house. He is the remedy. He is the one that can bring you from darkness into light here this morning. He is the one that will change you from the inside out. Are you willing this morning? Are you willing to come and to bow down to the great physician? And I'm going to ask you to stand. Jesus, Jesus, the great physician is here this morning, and I want to ask, what do you need from him this morning? What do you need to live close to God? What is it that you need to confess? What is it that you need to repent of? What is it that you need to move closer into the great Father, the great one that loves us? You see, he's got you. God has got you here this morning. He's got you. He's got you, Noel. God has got you. He's got you. You see, God has everything under control. That's the God that we serve here this morning. Our God has everything under control. This is the great physician. This is our great God, our glorious God. The one that hung on the tree for each of us here today. What do you need this morning? Do you need a fresh touch from the Spirit this morning? And I want to invite you to come. Let the Holy Spirit wash over you. Let him come and wash over you and replenish you here this morning. See, God is saying, trust me. Believe and trust in me. I have got you. I've got you. The enemy is under our feet. God won the victory. He took us back.